Easter spring has sprung for today. Apparently there's snow on Wednesday. I'm beginning to think I'm back in Alberta again. Today is Orthodox Easter, and I mention that because it's been requested of us to pray for the church in Ukraine as they celebrate Easter today, and to raise prayers and praises around the world as they go through a very difficult time as they mark Easter today. We're slowly getting back to whatever normal is going to be. Every week we try and put something new in place. We had planned to solve our offertory issue this week, and that just kind of slipped by. So, as I mentioned last week, one of the first things that we were told not to do in the pandemic was to pass an offertory plate. And so we have, for the last 2 years, had an offertory plate sitting at that entrance at Bruce Street, because that's where everybody was coming in. But now we've opened the main doors again, so next week there will be a plate there as well, and we're going to run with that for a while until we get back to, again, more of what is normal. So you will see an offertory plate back there and one here. For this week, if you would like to support our ministry and you came in that way, if you would be so kind as to come up and use the offertory plate there. A moment of silence, and then we proceed with our worship.
And I'd invite you to stand as you're able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open,
all desires known, and from you all tears are due. Bless all of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we, who have not seen, have faith and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And I will invite you to be seated as we listen to the first reading.
A reading from the book of Revelation. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I have to admit that the first thing I do when I read this gospel reading is laugh. For a very unpleasant reason, because my little sister has this verbal tic when she's talking about this story. You may have heard Thomas called Doubting Thomas before. My little sister calls him Peeping Thomas, which I think is hilarious, and I almost always will want to say that when I'm talking about him in the gospel. So if you hear me say that, that is why. But that aside, I really like the story of Doubting Thomas, or Peeping Thomas, because I think it says something really integral about our faith, and it's not actually what you might think it is. I mean, this is a story that if you've gone to Sunday school, you've heard a lot. I know I have. And there's always seems to be the moral in it that doubt is bad. And we focus so much on Thomas and his doubts, but this story isn't just about Thomas. I mean, it's also a story about these frightened disciples who are scared. So scared, in fact, that they're hiding behind locked doors. I mean, think about this for a moment. Who can blame them? They have just witnessed the one that they profess to be the Messiah, tried and convicted not only by their oppressive colonial civil authorities, but by their own religious leadership. And then he's brutally executed. I mean, there's little wonder that they're afraid. Who wouldn't assume that the people who are going to get rounded up next are the disciples? So they're hiding in this room, wondering what to do, and lo and behold, Jesus arrives. He enters the scene, and fear falls away, and it's replaced by joy. And it's really simple, isn't it? The way that faith should work. Isn't that every testimonial that you've ever heard. I had doubts and questions and fears, and my life was terrible. And then Jesus comes in, and everything is replaced by joy and wonder, and of course, an unshakable faith that will never, ever leave me. That doesn't happen to Thomas. He doubts, questions, he disbelieves, he's just not satisfied with this second-hand account. And he wants to see for himself, and again, I have to ask who can blame him. You know, after all, he's one of these followers who saw his Lord and his friend arrested and beaten and then crucified, and he's probably spent the last few days trying to put together the pieces of his broken life and figure out what he's going to do next. I mean, we're not told in the story, but maybe that's why he wasn't even with the disciples. So I have to think, this Sunday after we've had our joyous Easter service celebrating our risen Lord, do we make room for the Thomases of the world? Do we make room for those Thomas moments that we ourselves experience? I suspect there's far more moments like that than we would wish to admit. Because those moments aren't supposed to happen to the faithful, right? I mean, they are supposed to happen to those who believe. I know I've told myself that plenty of times when I've had those moments. It must only be me. So what's so significant to me in this story is that when Thomas comes to believe, yes, his doubts have fallen away. He sees Jesus for himself, and after that experience, he consents to the witness of his friends, but he also makes a profound confession of faith about Jesus, calling him my Lord and my God, echoing the first chapter of John where the eternal Word becomes flesh, not only with God, but is God. But this is the important part to this, not just that his doubts fall away, but this comes after he gets the chance to voice them. Don't read this story as an admonishment of his doubts, but rather as an expression that faith sometimes is like that. It needs the freedom of questioning to really spring forth and take hold. Faith cannot simply be a repetition of these liturgical formulas or a mindless agreement to other people's statement of faith. True, vibrant, vigorous faith comes from, I believe, a place that allows you to wonder, to explore, and yes, to doubt. Sometimes. And for some people, faith will come easier. But I'm going to go against my Sunday school teachers here. I don't think we should hold those disciples as the moral of the story because, let's be honest, they saw what Thomas asked for. So I think while we're sitting in this Easter season still, while we're celebrating this resurrected life, I want us all to leave a little bit of room. Leave a little bit of room to really ask ourselves about this story. Because if we say that we can just believe it without any questions or any disbelief or any wonder, I mean, think about what we're really talking about here. We're talking about new life from the dead. We're talking about miracles. We're talking about every Sunday that we come together and confess that the Creator of this vast universe not only knows that we exist, but cares about our pain and struggles, our hopes and dreams, our very mundane lives. And all the rest, this confession is quite literally incredible, and it should be hard to fathom. But when we come together and hear the Word and partake in these sacraments, when we are joined together in prayer and song, we can believe. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, my dear friends in Christ, I will leave you with this invitation. Thank God for new life, for new opportunities, but thank God also for your questions. Thank God for the opportunities to wonder. Thank God even for your doubts, because They're signs of interest and curiosity. They're the fertile soil in which energetic faith can be born. So take some time with them. Write them down. Share them. Speak them. Bless them. But give them the space to be asked and heard. Amen. Now I will invite you to stand if you are able. And let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say,
I believe God, all Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to death. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and I would invite you into a position of prayer, either standing, sitting, or kneeling.
We begin with a prayer for Ukraine and those in the midst of war. O God, you have loved each of us since before we were born, and you love each of us in equal and abundant measures. Yet we sometimes choose not to see ourselves in one another. We sometimes choose to live as though we were not brothers and sisters that we know ourselves to be. Pour your blessing upon all your people in every nation, especially the Ukraine, whatever their faith or ethnicity. Preserve their lives and deliver them from the terror of war. And when this is over, guide them in the way of reconciliation and peace. Bring them a deepening sense of their oneness in the human family, that those things that unite your people may be seen and felt as greater than anything that can ever divide us. Amen. In the knowledge that God is here, present with us, let us pray. Father, we thank you for the gifts of sight and insight, and ask you to be there in all our looking. Help us always to see with eyes of faith, love, and honesty. Open our eyes. We pray for our bishops, priests, and deacons in their demanded ministry of love, that they may be given all the support, grace, and anointing they need. Open our eyes. We pray for the gifts of discernment and integrity among all those who govern, advise, and lead. Clear away all self-centered ambition to free our leaders to serve. Open our eyes. We call to mind those whose eyes are wet with tears or tense with pain. Help them to sense your reassuring love, which can bring us through the darkest of valleys. We remember especially Don Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckeridge, Stella Woodhouse, Anna Woodson, and Chris Fuseman. Jesus is the first fruit of the new and eternal life we are promised in you. We commend to your love those who have recently walked through death into that promise, and thank you for the privilege of knowing them here on earth. Open our eyes. Father, we thank you for loving us right through death into new life, and we rejoice in your victory over evil. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Your truth is already coming on your hand. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us.
Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you.
We live friends to the Lord.
Let us give thanks.
God, creator of heaven and earth, we give you thanks and praise for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he destroyed death, and by his rising to life again he has won for us eternal life. Therefore, joining our voices with the whole company of heaven, we sing our joyful hymn of praise to proclaim the glory of your name. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death.
We await his resurrection. We await his coming glory.
And we offer you our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, descend your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new. And bring us to that city of life where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior taught us, we are bold to say,
"Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Thank you.
on communion. I will invite you to come forward to receive at a standing station. If you wish to kneel, you can kneel at the kneeler to receive the bread. If you wish to receive the wine, you can proceed then to the Murray altar, where you can again either receive standing or kneeling. If you wish to receive just the bread, you may come forward to receive just the bread. And if you wish to receive just the blessing, please cross your arms in front of you, and I will offer you a blessing. with our eyes and touch with our hands the bread of life. Strengthen our faith that we may grow in love for you and for each other. Through Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Savior Jesus Christ. May the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen.